Okay, as I mentioned before, tonight is my father's yahrzeit, so we, if you don't mind, I'd like to dedicate the shir in his memory. So last week, Harav Aram ben Yosef, my son is here, his namesake is here, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so last week we started, and we discussed a lot of things. If you missed it, tough luck. It will be right. It will be on the internet soon, hopefully. We talked about the Shulchan Aruch, who the Shulchan Aruch was, what was the purpose of the Shulchan Aruch historically, what the idea behind that was, and we spoke about waking up in the morning and the attitude a person has to have when they wake up in the morning. Not, oh, I gotta get out of bed, right? But rather, think about, and that's got into what we were ended up with, I think, last week, that you're like a Kohen entering the Beis HaMikdash. You know what? How exciting it was to be a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, a Kohen didn't get to go into the Beis HaMikdash every day. There were 24 families, and they had rotations, and they kept it fresh. You know, so imagine being a Kohen entering the Beis HaMikdash. It would be so exciting. So a Kohen had to wash his hands and feet when he entered the Beis HaMikdash. So too, you're entering your Beis HaMikdash. Each day is your Beis HaMikdash. That's your Beis HaMikdash. So you have to wash your hands in the morning. And we talked about that and how we have to wake up with that paradigm. And that's going to, believe it or not, that attitude we're going to see is going to play out today also. And we discussed about washing in the morning. Wash as soon as possible. And again, we had three reasons why we wash in the morning. One is, again, the reason because we're like Kohanim. The other reason is because during the night, you don't know where your hands are. So so they could have touched someplace. We discussed this in Mishnah Berurah tonight. Your hands maybe touch a place that you're not supposed to touch. So you're about to make brachas and everything, so you have to wash your hands. We'll get into that a little more today. Tonight, Meretz Hashem. Third reason is the famous reason. Third reason is Ruach Ra. Ruach Ra means that there is some, I don't know exactly how to define it, I want to say evil spirit, that sounds like, but there is some Ruach Ra, which, that gets on a person's fingers in the morning. And if a person touches certain openings, any opening in their body, eyes, nose, ears, things like that, so then that could be a problem. Also, you shouldn't touch food. We didn't get to that yet, I don't think. Shouldn't touch food because of that Ruach Ra. The Ruach Ra reason is the famous reason. People don't know about the other two reasons, about the Kohen reason and the hands going all over the place reason. Everybody knows about the Ruach Ra. And I think what we ended up with is there's an argument in that reason, in the Ruach Ra reason. When does the Ruach Ra happen? What causes the Ruach Ra? Does the Ruach Ra result because of sleeping? Or is it a function of sunrise? So there's a machlokas. And there's a big, now again, you say in Beis Yaakov, you have to know this term. Did I mention that? A nafka mina. Those are two words, nafka mina. Nafka mina means what comes out from this. Whenever there's an argument, there has to be a result. There's some result. Let me give you an example. I mean, this is just the first one that pops into my... Well, there's a lot. I could give you a lot of differences. But let's say, why do we wait between milchoks and fleishiks, the amount of time where we wait? Why do we wait? There's machlokas. There's an argument. One reason is because the fleishiks has a tam shuman, a fatty taste that results from when you eat it. So if you swallow meat, so then... So really, from the Torah, you could have a milkshake right afterwards. There's really nothing wrong with that. Midoraisa. But Midrabana, Chazal said, according to this first opinion, that if you do that, if you go to PKD, and then you go to Munchies and get a real milkshake afterwards. We're not talking about one of these paru things, right? You go and get a milkshake afterwards, so that's okay from the Torah. The only problem is that when you drink the milkshake, the taste of the fleishiks is still there. So therefore, it's like you're mixing milk and conflation together. So therefore, you have to wait a certain amount of time. That's minhag. How long you wait is meant 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours. That's different minhagim, brought down in halacha, right? I want to actually make that clear. Those are minhagim that are brought down in halacha. Now, the thing we mentioned last week, like I need money, that's minhag, not brought down in halacha, obviously, anymore. Right? So I want to make those that differentiation. So if that's the first reason. The first reason why we wait between milchik and fleishik is, first reason is tam shuman, because of the fatty taste. And it's like you're mixing the milchik and fleishik together. Second reason disagrees. Second reason says no, because with meat, it's apt that you'll have pieces of meat lodged inside your mouth. And, you know, you had, a steak or whatever it is. And then when you have milchik afterwards, so then you're not cognizant of the fact that you still have meat in your mouth. And then you can have milchik, and then you're having milchik and fleishik together. What's the nafkamina between the two? What differences make? We go like both opinions, it happens to be. But who cares what difference make? It makes a big difference. And I always used to give this example. This example is brought down in halacha. I always tell you when you teach, you give a weird example. That way when people hear the example, you'll remember it. And believe it or not, I remember like a year or so ago, I was at a chasana, and a girl came up to me. She hadn't been in my class. I mean, she graduated a number of years ago. She said, you know, Rabbi Summers, I still remember that example. And you'll remember this example also. There's many differences of opinion. I mean, but this example, I think, is the best. And that is before they had food processors and all those fancy things. So if you want to chop up meat, let's say for a baby, a baby was getting a little older, you want to bridge them from nursing to food, right? So you had to, as we say, puree the food. So how did you do it before Cuisinart? Take a knife and cut it up? Not going to do the job. So what did people do? That's right. They pre-chewed it for the child. Well, you'll remember that example, right?
Very.
So won't forget that example.
Beautiful.
Huh?
Beautiful.
So now the Shaila is, so the woman, or it could be the man now, chewed up the food, the fleishik, for the child, but did not swallow it, right? They spat it out for the child. So now the Shaila is, she wants to go to Munchies afterwards. So if you hold it's because of taste, since she didn't swallow it, the Tam Shuman reason does not apply. She would be able to go to Munchies and have some milchik. If you say it's because of particles lodged in your mouth, then you do have to wait the 6 hours. Big difference of opinion. So like I said before, la halacha, we go like both opinions, la chumra. So if one opinion, one of those two reasons apply to a person, they have to wait. It'll make a difference. The same thing here. We have a machlokas. You have to wash because of ruach ra. There is such a thing as ruach ra. And now again, that's on your fingertips. So you shouldn't touch food, all that type of stuff. Because it's ruach ra thing, you also shouldn't have food underneath your bed while you sleep, for the same reason. Now, I don't know if he brings that down. He might. So if you say that the ruach ra comes in the when you sleep, so let's say somebody slept, they got up 2 o'clock in the morning. So they have to wash? Yes, because they slept. How long they sleep is a big discussion. How long? What's the minimum amount you have to sleep? So if you say it's because of sleep, so the person slept, so they have to wash. Even though when sunrise came, they were awake. Right? If you say it's because of sunrise, has nothing to do with sleep. So let's say it's Shavuos night. You stayed up all night. You didn't sleep. But you hit sunrise. So if you say it's because of sleep, you didn't sleep. You don't have to wash. If you say it's because of sunrise, you don't have to wash anyways. It's machlokas. We go like both opinions. So the only problem would be Shavuos. You stayed up all night. You'd have to wash, but would you wash with a bracha? So that's a whole dipsy doodle we do. Okay? So last thing I think we left off with. So how do you get rid of this ruach ra? You get rid of the ruach ra by washing 3 times. I think that's the last thing we got up to, right? Okay. So you just have to be aware. Oh, no, we'll get to it. We'll get to it soon. Okay, who's reading today? We're up to 7 on page 6, 7. Oh, yeah, Reuven is up. Right, sorry, I forgot about that.
How to perform the morning Netilas Yadayim. One should take a utensil filled with water in his right hand and pass it to his left hand in order to wash the right hand first. One should wash each hand 3 times in this order. right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Some people wash each hand four times. It is preferable to wash the hand up to the wrist.
Okay, that was what we just said a lot, right? Now, see, you just have to be aware, if you're left-handed, like I am, so we still wash this way anyways. Sometimes lefties do things differently, and a lot of things differently. But even halachically, we do a lot of things differently. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, I got somebody. Oh, yeah.
The halachas of lefties.
Of lefties.
Yeah.
You have it from Rabbi Krohn?
I've seen it. Yeah, Rabbi Krohn.
Rabbi Krohn. Some of the shul, like a year ago.
Get
oh, yeah. No, you write and he'll send it to you. Mm. Or he'll just send it to you.
Great.
Some of the shul, it was Mr. Green, came up to me like last year and he said, here. And it says, to Rabbi Summers from Rabbi Krohn. I never met Rabbi Krohn. He said, I happen to speak to him, so I mentioned that you're left-handed, so he sent it to me.
Right.
No, it's very interesting. So anyway, so sometimes, like for tying shoes, mm-hmm. lefties are different. Holding lulav and esrog, lefties are different. Not which way you lean. But there's a lot of different halakhos about lefties. But this is not one of them. Lefties still wash. We take the water, we take the thing. First of all, it should be a vessel. Because now, and you have to pour onto your hand. It's what we call kol kavro. Now this is very important because let's say you're somewhere, it happened to me a couple times recently, I had to take an overnight flight, and you're stuck somewhere, you land somewhere, so you gotta wash your hands. So you go into a bathroom somewhere. So you have to realize a bathroom, washing in a bathroom is sometimes problematic. It's a big machlokus. Because a bathroom, we'll see hopefully today, a bathroom has Hevel or Ruach Ra has this impure atmosphere. So there happens to be a machlokus whether that applies to our bathrooms. Because some of it was because of the, we didn't have indoor plumbing. And so we went to an outhouse that wasn't like a pleasant place to be in. So the Shaila is whether it's a big machlokus between the Chazon Ish and the Rav Moshe, whether it applies today or not. But anyway, so a lot of times we're lenient on that because, let's say, if you cover the commode, right? So again, we'll see that, we saw before, some people wash by their bed, so then they eliminate this problem altogether. But if you wash in a bathroom, I tell people it's preferable just to cover the bathroom. You know, it's easy to do, there's a lid, right? So you wash your hands, you need a kokavra, you can't just put your hands under running water. You can't do that. There has to be, you have to pour from a power of a human being. It's like washing for bread, same thing. So if you're stuck, unfortunately I've had to go to fly cross country twice recently for Levias, so I bring a cup with me, believe it or not, a little cup, because if you're stuck in an airport, some say if you put your hand under it, the initial splash counts as a cough, because you're causing that to happen. So in airports now, they have those motion sensor dingle whoppers. So I make it a little hard. If you had a faucet, so then you can open and close and open and close and open and close. You could do this for bread also. It's not the best, but at least you're causing the splash. Everybody with me so far? The same thing applies in the morning. So you have to put your hands under and it splash, and then, Yeah, I've been doing that. Everybody looks at you like, what's with you? Yeah, that's true.
Why wouldn't you're causing it yourself if you turn on a faucet?
No, you do, but they don't have those in airports anymore. They have motion sensors.
Oh, I see what you're saying, but the motion sensor.
Right, so you have
the first
to, right.
You're saying you're
right, if you have something like we have in the bathrooms here, it's good, but you're right.
Oh, I see.
What's the difference between three and four times?
We'll get to that in a second. Okay, so you have to have, now you fill it up with the right hand, you pass it to the left, and then you pour onto the right. Typical Jewish thing to do, right? Now, why do you do that? You do that because you want to fill it up with the right, because the right is always more important, but you want to splash with the left onto the right. Why? The reason is because left, as much as us lefties don't like this, that's the way it is, left symbolizes din. Left symbolizes judgment. Right symbolizes rachamim. So you want to have the rachamim, the din, serve the mercy. So therefore, and that's irrespective whether you're left-handed or right-handed. You want to do left onto the right. That's what you want to do. So you fill it up with the right, and then you take it with the left and you pour onto the right. Okay? And that's what you do, and you alternate. Now this is where everybody gets confused. This, and we're going to get to that tonight, there's different reasons why you could wash. Three different reasons why you could wash. You could wash either because of ruach ra, which is what we're talking about, right? One of the opinions is because there's a ruach ra. You can wash because of nikius, because of cleanliness reasons, which we'll also talk about tonight. You can also wash because of bread. Washing for bread is a totally different thing. Washing because of bread is because of srach truma, because of truma. Very beautiful idea. Again, we'll get to it later, but we might as well talk about it now. Kohanim, there was a level of tuma, a very low level of tuma, like if you touch a sefer Torah, things like that, where just your hands would become tamei. Just your hands. Not anything else. Now, obviously, there's a tuma derabanan. It's a very, if you want to use this idea, a very low level of tuma. But it would mess up truma. Everybody knows what truma is, right? Truma was a certain amount of that you had to give of grain to a kohen. And the kohen usually made into bread or something like that, and they ate it. They and their families ate it. They had to be on a certain level of tahara in order to do it. Now, this level of tuma would mess up truma midrabanan. So what did the kohenim have to do? They had to, if they washed their hands this way, it got rid of that tuma. So therefore, kohenim would, before they ate bread, would wash like this. Therefore, much later, Chazal made up that everybody before they eat bread should wash that way because of truma. I'm not a Kohen, I don't need truma. Chazal, because of Shalom, wanted to make things universal, right? Not that he wash and I don't, right? That would cause a problem, let's say, at a meal. Some people are washing and a lot of people are not. Hey, who are you? You don't like it, you come in, right? That could happen. So everybody wash. Everybody into the pool, right? Right? So therefore, it's uniform. That's why we want. It's a different reason. It's a different reason. Now, these different functions we're going to see, hopefully tonight, if we get to number 14, each reason would necessitate a different way of washing. If it's ruach ra, so you wash alternating, splash, 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 splash. So that's what you do, right? You fill it with the right, pass it to the left, pour it to the right. But you have to do each hand three times, right? Correct, rather. So you pour it on the right, you're going to have to pour on the left. That's one. Then right, left, right, left. Okay, everybody got it? Mm-hmm. Okay, now, somebody, who mentioned?
Four.
Why four?
Hi.
Okay. So now, as was pointed out, it says in front, some people wash each hand four times. That's the Vilna Gaon. Why? Simple. The Vilna Gaon, as you know, was huge into Kabbalah, right? Everybody thinks he's the yeshivish guy, right? Which is true. But, you know, the Vilna Gaon was huge in Kabbalah. Gigantic in Kabbalah. You know, everything in Torah. So there is a story that, you know, there was somebody, the Ger Tzedek, there was somebody who converted to Judaism and was burned at the stake by the government because of that. So the story goes that the Vilna Gaon sent word to the Ger Tzedek that he could get him out of jail and save his life. Mostly by Vilna Gaon through Kabbalah could have gotten him out. So, you know, these are things that I have no idea what that means. But so the Vilna Gaon says four times. Why? Because the Vilna Gaon says that three times, when you wash three times, it gets the Ruach Ra off your hands. But where does the Ruach Ra go? To the water. So that Ruach Ra water is on your hands. That's not a problem because you dry your hands. But the Vilna Gaon says if you wash your hands four times, it washes off that impure water, if you want to use that term. Therefore, that's why people wash four times. Sometimes people wash four times because they lose track of what they're up to. So they do four, five, six, you know, that's a separate issue. But that's the difference between three and four. Three will get the Ruach Ra off your hands, but now the Ruach Ra is on your on the water that's on your fingers, so Vilna Gaon says four times. And you should go to the wrist. So we just learned that a couple days ago by Duchening. If you went to the knuckles, that would be a nukbidi of it. You know, we do this twice a year. On Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, we go to the big knuckles. So that is enough, but preferably you should go to the wrist. go to the wrist. Okay? Okay, number nine, water use.
Should it bathe?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Okay. It's preferable to use an uncracked utensil for Netilas Yadayim. At least a revius of water must be used. For the exact measure of revius, see the table of measures at the end of chapter
4. Okay, so a revius, it's really irrelevant, Baruch Hashem, for us. We have running water. And a revius is like 3 ounces. I don't know how you're going to do... I don't even know how... I've always had this question, like, how are you going to do 3 splashes with 3 ounces? I don't know. But whatever. I mean, you're not going to go to the wrist. But I just had to tell you a quick story. We'll learn about this later. But we saw this already, how in the morning we have to appreciate everything. We'll get to that hopefully tonight, or maybe next week. You know, that's what we have all the morning breakfast for. You can see, you can stand up straight and everything like that. So whenever I wash, very often, I think of a story Reb Revda said in the shul a couple of years ago. Amazing story. He said, when World War II, when the Nazis were moving onto Lithuania, so the Brisker Rav was in Vilna, and he said the first thing the Nazis would do, to show you what nice people they were, is they would destroy the water supply. They destroy the water supply, so people would, food you can last without water is a little more difficult. Just so what animals they were. So there was a shortage of water in Vilna. So the Brisker Rav, they said, used to wash with, with the bare minimum and wash, you know, like, because he wanted to save people's water. So I think about it, you know, you open up a tap, you know, all this water. Even when we have a drought, you know, even when we're conserving water. But, you know, like when you hear a story like that, you think about, you know, you got to appreciate that you got water. So when you hear a halakha like this, you should use an uncracked vessel, which is usually not a problem for us. At least 3 ounces, again, also nothing. Now we can do 9.
Quick question?
Yeah, sure,
so,
please.
This means like a refuse of water for, they're saying for all 3 times?
The whole thing, yeah.
So like, what if like you're in a hotel and you don't have like a big cup, you just have like, you know, a small cup, like just enough for like 1 splash each.
Right, so that's fine.
And you just like fill it up.
Right, keep on filling it up, yeah. That's what you have to do sometimes, yeah. Yeah, now you preach washing cups, right?
You know what I use? Is they, some people, they have coffee makers.
Right.
And they have glass.
They have glass. Or if it's a cheap hotel, they have styrofoam.
the glass things are big.
Okay, believe it or not, there's a whole thing about that, like by Kiddush. People don't know this. By Kiddush Shabbos, either Friday night or Shabbos morning, you're supposed to bake Kiddush using a kli. There's a big shaila about whether you can use a disposable kli. Like sometimes people use disposable or plastic. It's really not the best thing to do. You should use something that's substantial, glass, silver, you know, whatever. But preferably you shouldn't use a disposable kli. So usually for this would be good enough, but for Kiddush, you shouldn't use a disposable, like a styrofoam or something like that.
What if you're in the middle of nowhere with a water bottle? Can you wash your hands
like
that?
Yeah, sure.
You're not taking water and putting it into something and then using it.
Okay. Right. believe it or not, we were discussing this last year when I was at the Ark of Kala. We were at Mesa's Levaya. And we were driving back, and I was in the car with Rabbi Nyman and Rabbi Welcher. My Nyman was on the front seat. It was a minivan. My Nyman was in the front seat. I was in the middle with some people, and Rabbi Welcher was in back with his wife. This was a huge posex. Rabbi Nyman and his anivus had a recorder. He just got it. Rabbi Nyman was. And we asked the shail about a similar, I don't want to get into the shail exactly, but it was an interesting shail, and it involved basically, does this ruach ra? I said you didn't wash yet. But it wasn't the same thing, but it was corollary shaila of could somebody drink water? They're really thirsty. You know the way you are. Mm-hmm. You can't wait 2 seconds till you wash. So could they drink? They have a problem with the bracha, but could they drink before they wash? Does the ruach ra go through the vessel? So Rabbi Welcher brought a proof that it doesn't. I'll tell you the shaila. The shaila was like this. Shaila was, could a woman nurse if she hasn't washed yet?
That's a good question.
Right. So Rabbi Welcher said, yeah, it's okay. because the ruach ra doesn't go through a kli, if you want to use that analogy. So so like if you pick up the water bottle to wash, the ruach ra doesn't go through into it, right? You shouldn't touch a liquid, right? Actually touch it or food.
What's the reason that we have the handles? Is that
That's for a different reason. Okay. That's because when you wash for bread, so it's a little more, it's a lot more complicated. But basically, we don't want, if you wash the hand, so then if there's water on the handle, let's say you only have one handle, and you wash this hand, then there's now maybe water on the handle, that water might be tame from your hand, your unwashed hand. Now you take that handle, you wash the other hand, but this hand is tohar already, but the water that's on the single handle is tummy, so it went ahead and reinfected your hand. It's not so simple, actually, but that's why we have two handled, because that way each one is dry when you wash the other hand. It's a little more complicated. But we're only on page 7, so I don't want to get into that. Right, that's... Okay, the water... Oh, yeah. This is a famous halakha. Everybody probably knows this. The water from the tail slime
may not be used for any other purpose, nor may it be walked upon. Therefore, it should be spilled out in a place where people do not normally walk.
So you know why, right? So based upon that Vilna Gaon, right, where's that ruach ra? It's in the water. So again, like I think I mentioned a couple of years ago in Shabbat Shuvah, there's worlds and things we don't see. We don't comprehend. And it might be lucky we don't, but like for example, when you make a bracha, when you do a mitzvah, when you learn one word of Torah, right? Torah, sorry, Yehuda all the time. You know what a thing? Why one of the reasons why learning Torah is so important is, you know, you do a mitzvah, you shake lulav, get a mitzvah. You learn Torah. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, 5 mitzvahs. Right, the Chofetz Chaim goes through this. Right, it's amazing. 5 mitzvahs. So. Imagine guys learning yeshiva. The meter is running like super fast. I mean, even if they're not learning, you know, they're just talking in a tosis, or, you know, they're talking amongst each other. Like, so each word they're saying is another mitzvah. It's unfathomable. Like the taxi meter is running really fast, like a New York taxi meter, right? So there's things we don't comprehend, right? There's a spiritual world that we don't. So we're making malachim when we're doing it. There's also conversely, a ruach ra. There's also a ruach ra. So that's on our hands. Where'd it go? Just went poof, right? No, it didn't go poof. It's in the water. So now, again, we are especially a very physical society. We don't appreciate there's something in that water. And if you don't, it could be injurious. On some level, we don't appreciate. So therefore, get rid of that water. For us, it's easy. It goes down the drain, right? But let's say if you wash by your bed, be careful with that water. Now, I always like to bring in other things. The same thing applies before you bench. We wash, you know, mayim achronim, right? We wash mayim achronim before we bench. That's a whole separate discussion. Some people are very careful about it. Like Vilna Gaon people are very careful about it. It's not just a Shabbos thing. Always wash mayim achronim. In fact, the Vilna Gaon holds that it's a mitzvah from the Torah. Wash my machronim. So you wash my machronim. So it's a similar. Well, you probably know it's from stone salt. That's one reason. There's another reason too, but we'll get to that. So where does that stone salt go? That stone salt is injurious. Now, believe it or not, it could be salt from stone because we know what happened with stone. The Aruch HaShulchan, I believe, says any salt in the world has like a connection to the salt of stone. So any salt, even if it's from Guatemala, whatever.
I don't think we make salt. But
you don't make salt? Okay. Guatemala's too fancy to make salt.
Coffee, yes.
Okay. But whatever. Wait, where do they have all those salt mines in America? Isn't that where they're pumping the oil into? The strategic oil reserves. Isn't that old salt mine? Oh, whatever. So that has, Mount Stomus also has this injurious power. So the same thing with mayim achronim water. Gotta be careful with that. Like, you know, if it spills on the table, right? That's also a similar type of halacha. Gotta be careful with that stuff. You have to be careful with it.
So obviously there is something behind all of this about being careful with water and being cleansed in many different ways.
That's right. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that hopefully tonight, that Jews, we always have to be spiritually cleansed, and part of that, we're going to talk about Moshe Shir also a little bit, is physically, part of that is you can't be physically spiritually tar if you're physically messed up. So Jews, I mean, look at this. We don't appreciate it. So a Jew every morning, we're going to get to it, wash their hands, right? Woke up in the morning, wash your hands. You also, we're going to get to it later. I don't know if we're gonna, I have the note here. You're supposed to wash your hands, your face, and rinse out your mouth.
Is that
morning breath. Yes. It's brought down in halakha. I have it written down here to inject that tonight, number 13. So imagine you lived in the medieval times, or even actually not that long ago when there's no running water. So Jews had a halakha that they had to wash their hands every day. At least once a week, right, on Erev Shabbos, you bathed. Now, think about when they didn't have running water. So we all know today, right, the big, you see like in these natural disasters, unfortunately, around the world, in Burma and in China, when their hygiene goes, you know, there's terrible diseases. And unfortunately, that was true during medieval times, right? The Black Plague and, all those, which wiped out, half of the Europe? Something like that? The plague? So the problem was that Jews were less affected than the non-Jews. Mm-hmm. Why? Because a lot of it was hygiene. So a frum Jew naturally had to be, to one degree or another, cleansed to one degree or another. So the Jews were less affected. That was a problem. Because the non-Jews, right, they didn't know about germs. Nobody knew about it, right? They didn't know about germs. So why are the Jews not dying like everybody else is dying? Oh, it must be that the Jews did. Somebody told me you're not supposed to say heebie-jeebie, right? That's where it comes from. Heebie comes from Hebrew. That's what somebody told me. That Jews did witchcraft. That's what they believe. Believe it or not, this is brought down in halacha. Believe it or not. There's a halacha that we all know on Pesach, before Pesach, ever Pesach, we do B'dikas Chametz. So the question is like this. Let's say you have a neighbor next door who's non-Jewish. So now, again, we don't relate to this, but the walls in those days weren't like our walls, right? A lot of times they had cracks in them, they had openings. You go to the back of the shul, right? We have a masonry wall back there, right, between us and the alley. It's a masonry wall. It's not fancy stuff. There's a big crack, right? There's a not a big crack, but there's a crack, right? There's a crack. So you're playing baseball with your son and playing catch in the backyard. So you're eating a sandwich or eating something. So where are you going to put it? So you put it in the crack, right? That's what they used to do, right? Just hold it there. So now the problem is that's fine and dandy until it gets to Pesach. Because you have to check for chametz wherever chametz was brought, right? So you have to check the wall. And you have to check the crack in the wall. Okay, so picture this. You have a next-door neighbor who's not Jewish. They see the Jew walking out with a candle and looking in there. And then, afterwards you say Kol Chamira, which a lot of Jews don't know what that means, right? So what does the Goy think? Believe it or not, it's brought down in Halakha, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that if that's the case, if you're scared that he's going to think, then there's certain leniencies as far as B'dikas Chametz is concerned. Seriously, it was dangerous. Mm-hmm. It was dangerous. So this was a problem because Jews had to be, were expected to be more clean physically than, you see, Big Talmid Chachamim, there's a halakha like this. If there's a stain or something on their clothes, it's very severe. Gemara does not look kindly on a Talmid Chachamim who walks around like a shlump. But any Jew also. Okay, anyways, we're falling a little behind here. Okay, let's go on to 10. So you got to watch out for that water. So again, today, we just pour it down the sink. Be careful with my machronim too. Oh, here we go.
10. If one has a limited amount of water, he may wash his fingers until the knuckles 3 times.
Right, big knuckles. So again, it's twice a year this applies to us, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So then we only wash till the knuckles. right? Okay, good.
Number 11, if no water is available, one should clean his hands, the palm, back of his hand, at all sides of the fingers, by rubbing them on anything that cleans, for example, a garment, earth, etc. In this case, the blessing recited is on the Kiyas Yadayim instead of on the Netilas Yadayim. Even though his hands were not washed, one may now recite blessings and study Torah. Later, when water is available, he should wash his hands three times.
Okay, so what we see from this? We see from this a few things. First of all, you shouldn't make a bracha or recite, learn Torah if you don't wash or do something to your hands. Okay? You can't make a bracha or learn Torah if you just woke up and you have, first of all, you have to make birchas Torah, which we'll get to later. But also, you're not in the right physical state. So if you don't have water, what can you do? You wipe off your hands. You ever see people doing this? Right? Now, what people don't know is he says it right here. A lot of people just go like that. That's wrong. You have to do both hands. Both sides. Both hands, both sides. Now, again, this is people do this very liberally, but this is only if you don't have water. Sometimes we do this, like if you're in the middle of learning and you accidentally touch a part of your body, we'll get to it. Yeah, we'll talk about that. So then you don't want to get up and wash because you're wasting learning time, so you could... Now, see, this is one of the advantages of being a rabbi. So if you're wearing a suit, I think this is always a good advantage. Because if you do, so what you can do both hands at the same time, both sides.
Does it not transfer to the table or to the...
No, it's not. Well, first of all, see, if you look very closely, you're doing something else. You're not really getting rid of the ruach ra, you're just cleaning your hands. See, that's why I want to point out, you'll make an al netilas and I make al nikios yadayim.
What does
nikia
mean?
Nikia means like naki. You're cleaning your hands. See, you're not washing your hands, which gets rid of the ruach ra. You're just cleaning your hands. So only help. We're gonna get to that next. It only helps for certain things. Remember, there were three reasons. Kohen. Maybe you touch a part of body that you invalidates your hands for bracha, so it helps for those things. It doesn't help you for the ruach ra. So for the ruach ra, we have the bracha on the tilas yadayim. If you wash with water, so it covers all three reasons that we learned last week. Mm-hmm. If you do this thing, right, that only cleans your hands. It doesn't get rid of the ruach ra necessarily. Okay? No, we said as soon as you wake up, you say Modani. So you spoke already.
You could say that's davening.
No, that's not davening. That's just getting your paradigm right. Well, thank you, I'm alive. Right? Thank you, I'm alive. Right? Okay. When one rises.
When, 12. When one rises after having taken a nap during the day, he should wash his hands three times without reciting a bracha. See chapter 3.
Section 10.
Okay, regarding later. What procedure to follow regarding the blessing of al netilas yadayim and other blessings if one was awake all night.
Right, that's a shuas question. But if you sleep during the day, so there's a question, obviously, based upon what we said before. Does the ruach ra come sunrise? Took a Shabbos nap on during the day, doesn't do it. Doesn't cause the ruach ra to come on your hands. If you say sleep is the engine that does it, is anybody hot? Should I turn on the air? I think somebody turned off the air conditioner. Okay. If you say sleep induces the ruach ra, so sleep during the day, you do have to wash. So therefore, what do we say? Wash without a bracha. Now, I just wanted to point out: let's say you're taking a Shabbos nap, do you have to say Kriya Shema, right? Or if you say the bracha on Mapil that we say before we go to sleep at night? Mm-hmm. Answer is no. That's only nighttime sleep. But there is, it's brought down. You know, Vihinoam, that paragraph Vihinoam. You say after right after Shema. Some people have the custom to say that if they take a day nap. Yoshua Saser. Okay? Just wanted to put that in. It's commendable.
13.
I'm sorry. At what point do you say the bracha?
After you dry your hands.
After you.
See, the truth of the matter is that you're not going to say it then.
Yeah.
See, the truth of the matter is we're going to see later, you're supposed to go to the bathroom. So what basically you do is you wake up, say Modani, wash your hands, dry them, right? Three or four, or dry them, then you really shouldn't make a bracha yet, because you can never make a bracha if you have to go to the bathroom. You cannot recite Hashem's name if you have to go to the bathroom. So therefore, what you, it's brought down in halacha, what you do is you wash, dry your hands. You're not going to make an olam to us daim because you should go to the bathroom. So you go to the bathroom. Now you have to make an asher yatzar. So what you do is, yeah, then you go, we're going to see this, then you go wash again because you went to the bathroom. Then you come out. Then you can make the bracha on the tilos adayim, elokai neshama, asher yatzar. Excuse me, on the tilos adayim. We'll get there. On the tilos adayim, asher yatzar, elokai neshama, right? Thanking Hashem for returning your soul. And then you can make the brachas on the Torah. That's what you're going to do. But we'll get to that. Here's something really interesting. I also wrote down here that you should wash your hands, you should wash your face, and rinse out your mouth. Right, that's brought down in halacha. So again, you should wash your hands. Oh, I'm sorry. I did that. We didn't do 13 yet, right?
No.
Right, that's okay. Here it is. It's commendable.
It is commendable to rinse one's mouth every morning, so one will pronounce God's name in the prayers and blessings with a clean mouth. On fast days, one should not rinse his mouth.
Right. Unless it's a minor fast, not Tisha B'Av, and you really are grossed out by your mouth. Which a lot of people are. Morning breath. So then you can rinse your mouth out, as long as you make sure you don't swallow anything. But, again, this gets involved with what we were talking about before. So a frum Jew washes his hands, wash out his mouth, and it's brought down in halacha, you're supposed to wash your face. Right? Okay, now this is an important thing, and after we do that, maybe we'll see.
Can I just ask you?
Sure.
That's one question I always had about washing my eyes and my face. If I had to go out, say the bracha, come back, and then wash
right.
My face.
Right, so you don't do that. Don't wash your face if you got that raw water on your hands, right? Mm. That's the advantage of washing four times. Mm. Then you can put your hands under and wash your face. Right, you don't want to, with that stuff on, that those droplets of water from the third splash, you don't want to have that come into contact with your eyes, right? We saw that last week. A bad move, right? That's so on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, though, that comes into play. We'll get to that in Meretz Hashem later. But yeah, so you're going to wash your hands either four times, wash your face, wash it three times, dry them off, and then wash your face, rinse out your mouth. Okay, now this is really important, so this will probably take up the rest of the time we got tonight. Okay, other occasions when hands must be washed. Okay, look at this. Very, very interesting. Most people don't know these halachas. Okay?
14. There are other times during the course of the day when one must wash his hands. Some of them are upon leaving a bathroom, even without having relieved oneself or having bathed. After a haircut, shaving, or cutting one's nails. After visiting a cemetery or attending a funeral. It is customary not to enter a house after leaving the cemetery or attending a funeral without first washing the hands. Mm-hmm. In each of the above cases, the hands must be washed immediately.
Just do the last thing also.
One should also wash his hands after scratching his scalp or touching shoes, feet, and parts of the body that are required to be covered.
Okay. A lot of people don't know these halachos. Now, before we do this, we have to realize, like I said before, there's different reasons why you wash your hands. And, okay, let's leave the truma thing with bread alone, aside for the time being. But in this halacha, there's two different reasons brought down in halacha why you wash your hands. So why are we washing our hands? We got a variety of things that might make you halachically wash your hands. One is a bathroom. Now, see what he said? Rav Moshe has a truma like this, that even if you didn't use the bathroom, you stuck your hands in the bathroom, you have to wash. Right? Getting a haircut, cutting your nails, going to a cemetery, attending a funeral, scratching your scalp, right? Touching your shoes, feet or other. So we have to differentiate, and this is what we do in halacha, between two reasons why you have to wash. Either because of ruach ra, right? Whatever we define that as being. The other reason is nikius, cleanliness, hygiene. Brought down in halacha. So let's say... go to the bathroom and use the bathroom. That is hygiene reasons. That's nikios. Cutting your hair, cutting your nails, going to a funeral cemetery. That's ruach ra. What's nachkamina? What's the difference between those two? Huge difference. How do you wash? If you say it's just cleanliness, just wash your hands under a flow of water, under a faucet. If you say it's ruach ra, so you got to splash three times each hand. So let's go back. So if, let's say for a bathroom, it is hevel, but it's really, let's say if you use the bathroom, it's because nikias, just wash your hands. If you touch a shoe, scratch your scalp, not ruach ruach, it's cleanliness. Your hands are not touched a part of the body that's normally covered. Cleanliness. So you just have to, you know, just wash it off. If it's a cemetery, so what's the idea of a cemetery? There's a ruach ruach there, you know, because of the people are not alive anymore. Cutting your hair, cutting your nails, that's a ruach ruach. So then you have to do three times. So you have to be aware that in all these cases we have to wash, but there's a different reason, and the reason would necessitate a different type of washing. Now there is an opinion, I think, of the Magen Avraham that says when we come out of the bathroom, because of the hevel, whatever you want to call that, so you should wash alternating hands. And most people do that. But if you're stuck, you should realize that really just washing is good enough. Okay? So now, again, you have to remember, in all these cases, we have to wash. There are different reasons why we have to wash. And you have to wash before you make a bracha or learn. Now, I just want to make a couple ending points. First of all, it's only if you touch, you notice what he says on the bottom? After scratching your scalp, if you touch your hair, it's not a problem. Touch your hair, it's not a problem. It's only if you scratch or touch your scalp. Touch your shoe. It came up in Mishnah Berurah today. If you untie your shoe, my kids see me doing this, I'm too lazy to wash. So you untie your shoe by just touching the laces, so then you don't have to wash. It's a bigger hassle, but I don't know how much time you really save. But anyways, you wouldn't have to wash. Cleanliness reason. There's a rumor going around that a big posuk in Israel says that it's only if you touch the bottom of your shoe, not the top of your shoe. So you can understand what that means. I don't know if that's true or not. But the idea is that it's cleanliness. So he holds, you know, it's only the bottom of the shoe that gets dirty. Right? So I'm not saying it's true or not. I'm just saying the concept. We could hear the concept. Also, one other thing. If you go to a cemetery or funeral, so then you have to wash. You should wash before you go into a house. There's a couple of reasons for that. Also, the custom is when we wash, you know, you alternate three or four times, we air dry. You don't take a towel. We air dry. The reason is that you shouldn't forget about the experience you went through. Very beautiful story. I forgot who told me this story. But there's a story that somebody asked the Ponovitch Rav Zekatzalik Rafa. There's a custom that when you go to a funeral, you don't come back from the funeral the same way. Somebody asked the Ponovitch Rav Zekatzalik Rafa, what's that custom based on? Based upon what we said last week, any little custom, there's a reason for it. Well, what's the reason for that? You go to a funeral, Chas V'Shalom Lo Aleinu, come back a different way. Why? So the Ponovitch Rav said a beautiful idea. He said, how can you go to a funeral and come back the same way? Mm-hmm. How can you go to a funeral and come back the same? Come back different. So it's beautiful for it. So in a way, that relates to this idea that you come back, but you're supposed to be different. So you're washing. So dry your hands. You know, let me get back to, you know, to it. No, you know, it's supposed to seep in a little, you know? It's supposed to seep in a little. So that's the custom, is that we air dry. Los Angeles is a little easier. No, it's always warm. It gets, you know, so it's a little easier to do. If you live in a colder climes, it's a little more difficult. Okay. Maybe we'll hold off for 15 next week. I'm about covering hair, having a yarmulke. And hopefully we'll do that, and maybe even get into beautiful stuff about introduction to prayer. Okay, Shkoch, everyone.
Thank you.